Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about five areas of your life Satan wants to enter. Satan is a master of deception and manipulation, and he wants nothing more than to blind your mind to the truth of God's Word and drive you further into sin. He wants to destroy your testimony and ruin your witness for Christ. And if Satan isn't anything else, he's a master manipulator and deceiver and the father of all lies. He knows how to get into our heads and control our thoughts and lead us astray. Satan wants nothing more than to move into certain areas of our life so he can achieve a stronghold. He'll try anything to throw you off course and distract you from your focus. He wants to get into your head so he can keep you as far away from God as he can. However, there are certain areas of your life that Satan attacks more than others. As long as you are aware of these strategies, we can be on guard to keep him out of his targeted entry points. Don't let Satan win. Resist him at every turn, and he will flee from you. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter 10, and let's read verses 7 through 10. The Bible says this, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight as we come to do a detailed study tonight in our Bible study on how Satan wants to enter our lives and how we can resist that temptation. Father, help us as we study your Word. Give us wisdom. Give me the power to speak tonight. In all these things we ask in your holy name. Amen. You know, Satan is always on the attack. Satan is always, as Jesus said, trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He is always on the attack, even as we try to serve God to the best of our abilities. Satan is always trying to deceive us. He is always on trying to get us out of the will of God and cause us to sin. So tonight we're going to talk about four areas of your life that Satan wants to get a hold of and keep to himself. Number one, your worries. You know, today in our society we have a lot to be stressed out about. We have a lot to worry about in our current situation with all the COVID, with all the government scandals, with everything that's happening in our government. We have a whole lot to worry about. Even the stock market is going down. And that is concerning a bunch of people and causing people to worry. And Satan wants you to be constantly stressed out. By being stressed out, you're not resting in God's ability to take care of you. By worrying about things, we show our lack of faith in God. Women tend to worry about things like bills getting paid and their children. On the other hand, men worry about their jobs and providing for their families. There are also health concerns, fears about aging parents, and different situations on our minds. These worries can drown out God's peace in our lives and even cause us to blame God for our problems. Satan wants to doubt. He wants us to question God. He wants that doubt to weed through our minds and control us. Don't let Satan get to you with what if questions. Instead, keep praying about every concern you have and thank God for what he's about to do in your life. Listen, Satan wants you to do this. Satan wants you to say, well, what if this happens? What if the stock market crashes? What if my child gets sick? What if my parents get very sick? What if I lose my job? What if my bank account gets drained? What if all these things happen to me? That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep you in the what if area of your life. Don't let Satan do this. Satan doesn't get a hold of your mind if we keep our mind focused on God and we keep our minds focused on what he's doing in our life and how he's brought us through everything that we faced in life. There are quite a few people that claim to know God and follow him, but their thought patterns say otherwise. Their thinking pattern mirror those of anyone else in the world. Satan basks in that idea. He wants you to be absorbed with the ways of the world that you're clueless about the Word of God and what it says. He'll accomplish this through subtle messages in music, statements from your favorite celebrities, and words of advice from your friends. Everything he can do to keep your mind on the troubles of life, the cares of this world, that's what he wants to do. He'll accomplish this through subtle messages. He'll do it through our music, through statements from celebrities, and words of advice from a lot of our friends. The scripture reminds us that we shouldn't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Instead, you should let God transform you into a new person by the changing the way you think. Satan would rather have us in a mental agony by listening to the world instead of following the Word of God. The best way to guard Satan against your thoughts is to soak your mind in God's Word. Washing your mind in God's Word will keep Satan and worldly philosophies from getting in. The second area of your life that Satan wants to get a hold of and keep is your speech. I'll say that again. The second area of your life that Satan wants to get a hold of and keep to himself is your speech. God wants us to be holy ambassadors for him. He wants his people to heal and help others with our words. However, Satan would rather have you to speak negatively about everything. Satan wants you to criticize people and talk down to them. By participating in gossip and using profanity, we give Satan permission to make us people who tear others apart and sound no different than non-believers. The devil knows that we can cause a lot of damage with our mouths if we don't get them under control. Whether it's gossip or it's criticism, our mouths can be instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I want you to notice that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's cuss words. That's words of disencouragement. That's words that will hurt people. He's talking about everything. Gossip. He's talking about talking negatively to people. He's talking about, in general, anything that would cause harm to another person. Whenever you feel like you're about to engage in gossip or criticism, remember Ephesians 4:29. That will help stop any critical spirit that gives Satan refuge in your life. The main way to stop Satan from using your speech to harm others is remember the old saying, "What would Jesus do in this circumstance?" Always ask that question. What would Jesus do in this circumstance? Would he criticize or would he encourage? Would he condemn or build people up? What would Jesus do? Always ask yourself that question. Would he use cuss words? Would he tear people down instead of building them up? Would he gossip and cause division among brothers and sisters within the church? The answer to all these questions is no, he would not. Jesus was all about bringing people together, treating people with dignity and respect. Jesus lifted people up, encouraged them, and always treated them with kindness. The third area of your life that Satan wants to get a hold of and keep to himself is your body. When people get depressed, they tend to overeat, drink heavily, and start using substances. Overeating or over heavy drinking is Satan's way of turning you and your body against God. It's the way Satan does. He causes people to be depressed. He causes people to be anxious. He causes people to have worries. And Satan knows that our bodies are precious to God and are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 verse 1 says that we should give our bodies to God and let them be a living and holy sacrifice unto Him. So, what does that mean? The Bible says that we are to use our bodies as a temple of God to bring glory to Him and to live a holy and righteous life. We are to live as a living sacrifice to God. We are to live in a way that it brings glory to God. Because our bodies are sacred to God, Satan wants to harm them any way he can. Don't let Satan in. Instead, ask God for a healthy body image and desire to protect your body so you can serve Him on earth for as long as you live or as long as possible in this life. Listen, we are called to be holy as He's holy. We're called to use our bodies to bring glory to Him. And any time you let this body, anytime you let this body get anxious, anytime you let this body get depressed, anytime you let this body get out of the will of God, what's that doing? That's giving it over to Satan. These things are especially important for a Christian to know because Satan is always on the attack. Satan is always trying to get us out of the will of God. Satan is always trying to do things to harm this temple that we have that lives inside of us. So I want you to understand, Satan is not only after your worries, he's not only after your speech, he's not only after your body, he's also after your heart. The fourth area of life that Satan wants to get a hold of and keep it to himself is your heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23 tells us to guard our hearts because everything we do flows from the heart. Satan knows he has an entry point into the life if God isn't first in your heart. God's first commandment under the old covenant was to never put any other gods before Him. Jesus restated this idea under the new covenant when he asked what is the greatest commandment. He said we should love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Satan's greatest desire is to prevent you from giving God all of your heart. So he constantly dangles distractions in front of you to create a false god. And what is a false god? A false god's anything we put before God, anything we cause to take God's place, anything we have that causes us to not serve God and to serve man. Listen, my friend, there's many Christians today that don't understand that Satan is after their heart. The heart is where the Holy Spirit lives. But Satan tries to get a hold in there because he tries to cause us to have all of these things in our life that cause us to be confused, that cause us not trusting God's word, that cause us to be out of the will of God. Satan is always on the prowl. The Bible says Satan is the roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And he is trying to devour our lives. So we need to be very careful not to let Satan into our heart. So, we talked about the four areas Satan wants to enter into our lives. So what do we do about that? What do we do to keep Satan from getting into our heart? Well, the first thing I would mention is prepared to fight against Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to notice how important it is that Paul put these words in the scripture. If we want to fight against Satan, if we want to be prepared to fight against him, what we must do? We must put on the whole armor of God. Notice this armor, how it protects us. Notice, the Bible says first, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can't fight Satan on your own. You will lose every battle that you fight Satan. You must fight Satan. You must resist Satan in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ. Notice this. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It doesn't say be strong in the power of your might. It says, be strong in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes on in verse 11. He says, put on, that means physically put on, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes into what we fight against in verse 12. For we wrestle not against man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Think about that. Though many people come against the Christian nation today, though many people are trying to fight our belief system, though many people are trying to fight us as Christians, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood in the spiritual realm. What do we wrestle against? Principalities. Powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what's he saying? He's saying we don't wrestle against flesh and blood down here. We don't wrestle against man down here. Our warfare is in heavenly places. It's in the heart. It's in the mind. Satan wants to get to you any way he can. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Listen, the ruler of darkness of this world, who is that? That's Satan. We wrestle against Satan and all of his enticements. We rule against Satan and all of his temptations. We rule against Satan of all these battles that we face, because the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He has a lot of power down here. So, what do we wrestle against? We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he goes into verse 13 through 18 and tells us what to do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I want you to notice something. He doesn't say take part of the armor. He doesn't say take a piece of the armor. He doesn't say take half of the armor. What he says is take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. You cannot battle Satan if you're partially clothed with the armor of God. I want to point this out, and I want it to be clear. Listen, if you go out in a 30 degree or let's say a 10 degree weather and you just have a sweater on, what would it be like? You would be cold, wouldn't you? You have to put on the whole coat and every wrap around your head, around your neck. You have to put on everything to keep yourself warm. That's the way the whole armor of God is. If you go out without the whole armor of God, you're partially vulnerable. So put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all or everything to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore. And then he goes into the armor itself. In verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now I want to explain this. Having on your loins girded about with truth. That's your loins, your lower legs, completely covered with the truth of the Word of God. From the top of your leg to the bottom of your leg. Have your loins covered with the truth of the Word of God. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. So that covers the entire front of your body. And then he says, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So that covers your feet. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You're not only armored up with the breastplate of righteousness, you're not only armored up with the shield of truth covering your lower body, but you also have the shield of faith to protect you. Listen, no soldier in evil times in Paul's day would have went out to battle without their shield. The shield was the protection they needed to keep all the arrows from hitting them. The shield was the protection that they needed to keep the spears from getting into their heart. So, Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, take that shield of faith. That shield of faith will protect you from all the things that Satan throws your way. The temptations, the willingness to sin, all of these things that Satan casts towards you, the worry, the depression, the uncertainty of life, all of these things Satan throws at you, this shield of faith will protect you. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Why is that important? Because the helmet of salvation covers the entire head to keep Satan from getting into your mind. And then, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you're completely covered. Your head is covered. Your chest is covered. Your loins are covered. Your feet are covered. You're completely covered with the blessed plate of righteousness. You're completely covered with the armor of God. You're completely covered. You got your shield ready. You're ready to fight Satan, but your head might be unprotected. And if Satan gets into your mind, you've lost the battle. So what does he say? Take the helmet of salvation that protects your head. It protects your thoughts. It protects your body from the top, from Satan entering into the top of your mind and working his way down into your body. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you go out to fight Satan in the power of the Lord's might, if you are completely covered with the armor of God, if you've got your shield, if you've got your helmet of salvation, if you've got your feet shod with the gospel of peace, Satan cannot win. Satan will never win. And how do we put all this together? Notice verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, by trusting in and using the power of Christ and putting on every piece of armor Paul mentions, we can fight against Satan forces and win. He can attack us if we're shielded by the helmet of salvation, because it protects our minds. He can attack our hearts because we put on the shield of righteousness. He can attack our feet for our path we walk, because we have put on the gospel message. He can attack our faith in God if we carry the shield of faith. He can't weaken our prayer life if we're constantly praying and bringing our cares to the Lord. Furthermore, if we will simply resist the enticements of the devil, he will flee from our presence. The Bible proclaims that, and it is very important we understand it. If we will just resist Satan, he'll flee from us. Resist all of his enticements. Resist the temptations. Resist what Satan throws to you. And you, my friend, he will flee from you. The last thing I want to mention is put your faith in God. Satan is a manipulator, a con artist, and a liar. He has a way of trying to get into our minds and make you feel things that aren't real. He wants you to believe that God doesn't love you and that he doesn't care about you. He uses anything he can to get into your mind and try to take it over. However, you can't let Satan win. You have to remember that God is always on your side, no matter what Satan says. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Remember that. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of your heart. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is that Holy Spirit that lives inside of you than Satan who lives in the world. Remember that. The best way to stop Satan from entering these areas of your life is to follow Paul's instructions in Ephesians 6:11 through 18 we just covered. This verse says that we must put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. We must cover ourselves in God's character and righteousness above everything else. We must remember that we are God's children and he loves us unconditionally. He loves us regardless of what we do. He loves us regardless of where we're at. He loves us unconditionally. When you feel Satan trying to creep into your life, pray for God to keep him away from you and to keep you near him. Open your Bible. Quote the words of Scripture to Satan and that will drive him away. How did Jesus fight Satan? How did he fight him in Matthew chapter 4? When Satan offered all the enticements, when he offered the world, when he offered bread, when he offered everything he offered Jesus, Jesus battled him with the Word of God. And we should do the same thing. We have to open our Bibles and quote the words of Scripture to drive Satan away. Refuse to give in to whatever he's trying to get you to do that is against the will of God. And do all you possibly can to resist every temptation, enticement, and desire he throws your way. And my friend, he will flee from you. I hope you've learned something tonight from this message. I hope you'll implant it into your hearts. Listen, Satan is always on the attack. Satan is always trying to deceive you. Satan is always trying to get into your heart, get into your mind, get into your soul, and cause you to get out of the will of God. We must prepare by putting on the whole armor of God and using that armor to fight Satan off, using the Word of God to battle him, using that helmet of salvation to destroy him. If you put on the whole armor of God, my friend, you can fight him and win. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the study we've had tonight, and we pray, God, that it might have helped someone here that's battling with these cares of life, the worries of life, and all the things that we've talked about tonight. Jesus, I ask you, Father, that you would help us to be strong in you. Help us to look to you for everything we need, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for what you've done and for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.